You might have heard it at the cross. I think it was probably the spirit of the enemy that was motivating people when they said, if you were the Son of God, come down from the cross. You're the king. You're the Messiah. You're the Lord. Come on down from there. Show us some of your power. It's just the enemy trying to get to Jesus, trying to make him act in his flesh, if he had, which he really didn't have in that sense, trying to get him to act outside of his Father's will, trying to get him to defend his pride. If you're really a Christian, are you kidding me? You're a Christian, you're a religious person, and they persecute us and our pride gets hurt. Satan's very familiar with pride. Pride is what caused him to stumble from the very beginning when he became arrogant and wanted to ascend to the very throne of God and God cast him down. He used a little bit of pride and jealousy on Adam and Eve to get them to stumble. Did God really say that? He's just trying to keep you from what you rightly are entitled to. You ought to rise up and seize that thing. Take it. Be proud. And Satan tries to get us to defend our pride and act outside of the will of God, rather than simply trusting God as our all in all, rather than trusting God as our provision, as our righteousness, as our holiness, as our as the banner over us, and resting in him and doing as God calls us to do in a walk with the Holy Spirit. Satan tries to provoke us and wound us and tries to get us to act out of our carnal, selfish pride. And that's exactly what characterizes the world. The world that hates us so much, that's one of the big three pillars of what makes them the world system. 1 John 2:16, John said, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what? Pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And Satan wants us to react to persecution in a worldly manner, defending our pride. And there's a number of different tactics he uses, a number of different reactions he's trying to get in there. Number one, he knows we love the praise of men. We all want to be popular, don't we? How many people here love it when people like us? I do. I like to be liked. I don't like to be unpopular. I don't like people to look at me like I've got, you know, a horn growing out of the top of my head or something. I like people to think that I'm cool and that I'm, you know, fun to be around. And yeah, man, let's invite D'Souza over here. He's a great guy. I like that kind of thing. Nobody wants to be thought of as some kind of weirdo or some kind of fifth wheel or something. And most of the time, Satan knows we'll do anything to get that. We will do anything to be liked. One of the most horrible things you could do in our culture is do something to make you uncool. We don't want to be uncool, man. You know, we can be weird. We'll tattoo our entire body from the soles of our feet to the top of our head, you know, but if people think we're uncool, man, that's like the unforgivable sin. Man, I can't imagine that. And so we'll either do one of two things. We'll either cave in under pressure. If he starts wounding our pride, we'll start going along with the program because we don't want to be thought of as uncool. So we'll start conforming to the ways of the world. We'll cave in. We'll compromise on our values. That's one reaction in order to try to get people's approval. Or on the other side of the coin, maybe instead of doing that, we'll just get all up in a huff and retaliate. And we'll start talking trash right back to them. When they start persecuting us, we'll start persecuting them and calling them all kinds of names. And they call us names and we just go a little bit deeper. And they, you know, start to beat up on us and we start to beat up on them. And the next thing you know, we're out there like Fred Phelps carrying all these, you know, hateful signs at funerals and stuff. And we just get weird the other way. Instead of simply trusting God and resting in him for our approval, instead of loving the praise of God, we love the praise of men. So let's see how Jesus responded to this persecution. Verse 6. This is what he said to his brothers. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Jesus refused to be moved by a need for his brothers' approval. God had a timetable for Christ. There was an appointed day in which Christ would give his life for our sins. There was an appointed day when he would hang on that cross. And if he knew if he went down to Judea ahead of time, if he wasn't following the Spirit of God, everything would collapse. Everything would go wrong. That whole thing that God had designed from the beginning would just be a shambles. And Christ never moved until his Father led him to do so. He said, everything I see the Father doing, that's what I do. Whatever the Father says, that's what I speak. I don't do anything outside the will of God. But his brothers were trying to provoke him. He refused to be led by anything but the Spirit of God. And he refused to be held hostage. You ever felt like you were held hostage to somebody's approval? That's what dysfunction is in a home. Like when you have, for instance, a hardcore alcoholic and the home is falling apart, but you don't want to make any waves, so you don't say anything to them. And I think the classic word for that is codependence. You don't want to invoke their disapproval because it might just get, you know, might go from bad to worse to an extreme. And so you're held hostage by their behavior. And Christ was not about to be held hostage by the need for anybody's approval. We can be held hostage by the need for approval in very subtle ways. Our boss, you know, when we do things that maybe allow our lives to get out of balance in order to get our boss's approval. Or our friend's approval when we do things that we know are compromises that we ought not to be doing. And they hold us hostage for their approval. Christ was not held hostage by anybody. So number one, he refused to be moved by the need for their approval. Number two, he pointed out the source of their hatred for him. He says, you know why you're doing this? Verse 7, the world cannot hate you. I'm sorry, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. The reason the world hates Jesus, to answer the question from the beginning, is because Jesus strips away the very thing they crave so much, their pride. He takes away the pride of the world by declaring to it their sins. You know, you hear gospel messages all the time that mention nothing about sin, nothing about hell, nothing about judgment. Just accept Jesus because it's the cool thing to do. Jesus is so cool. Don't you just want to accept him? Isn't he a cool guy? He loves you so much. And they never mention the fact that we are at enmity with God, that our sins separate us from God, and they're hanging over our head, and if we die without Christ, we'll go to hell forever and ever. But people don't want to hear that. We don't want to be unpopular. We don't want to be uncool. So we don't mention the fact that we serve a holy God. The world hates that kind of Jesus. They don't want that kind of Jesus. They want the warm and fuzzy Jesus. They want the Jesus that says, I'm okay, you're okay. Let's all just get along. Let's all just treat each other real nice. Let's just make sure we smile when we meet our friends on the street. And let's just be real gentle with them. And let's never mention anything that might get them upset or nervous or make them uncomfortable. The world wants a Jesus that says, let's not be judgmental. Your truth may not be my truth, and maybe my truth is not your truth, but hey, who knows what's true anyway? Let's all just get along. Let's just validate everything. We don't want to make any waves. We don't want you to feel inferior because I disagree with you. We don't want you to have a complex. So let me just not disagree at all. I'll just keep my mouth shut and pretend that you're okay and I'm okay. That's the Jesus that the world wants. The world wants a Jesus who never rebukes anybody, who is always nice, who's always pleasant, who never talks about sin or hell or judgment. The world wants a Jesus that just makes you feel good. You know, life is tough and yeah, you know, I had a hard day, so I need Jesus just to come and make me feel good. He's my medication. He's my nightcap. He's my pain reliever. They want a Jesus that is not the Christ of Scripture. They want a Jesus that is a total fabrication of their own mind that they can use to justify the way they behave. Because if my Jesus never confronts anybody, if my Jesus never makes any waves, if he's always nice, then I can continue living exactly as I'm living and never have to worry about whether he cares or not. Never have to worry about whether there's any consequences. I can continue in my dysfunction until it literally tears my life apart. And Jesus will never say anything except, I love you so much. Yes, he does love us. He loves us passionately. The irony is they want this Jesus of love, but the Jesus of the Bible loves them too much to lie to them about their state. He loves them too much to tell them that everything is okay when everything is not okay.